Let's pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, it is abundantly clear in the Bible that you care, that you love. The most known text in the Bible, it says that you, God, so loved us, the people of this world, rebels against you, that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, God the Father. Thank you, Jesus the Son. Thank you, God the Holy Spirit, for your work of redeeming us and your continued work of redemption in our lives. Speak to us from the word, and Lord, may our hearts be secured in Christ, that we will not be deceived by those things coming upon the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. UFO sightings, alien signs, and the sun. That's our word today. That's our topic. And so, have any of you seen a UFO before? No? How many of you believe UFOs are real? Raise your hand if you believe. This is a good space for us to try to reason it. Let me see the hands again. Man, some people are doing this, you know. They don't even want to let anyone see that it's their hands going up. Let me see the hands of those who believe that UFOs are real. 1, 2, 3, 4. I see this too, you know. All right. So it's a good subject to explore. And guess what? Don't feel bad if you do or you don't. We will come away from the Word of God with a clearer understanding today. Whether they are real, and if they are real, what we are up against. But we'll find out. Let's delve in the Word of God. The reality is, people are seeing things. That's the truth. That's undeniable. People are seeing things. But John chapter 12, verses 20 to 21, John writes, "Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, 'Sir, we would see Jesus.'" Somebody should say amen to that. So people are seeing things, but make sure you're seeing Jesus. Amen. "We would see Jesus. To see Jesus, the Son of God, is far superior to any UFO sightings and alien signs, etc. That said, what do you believe about this? What have you seen?" Let me start by telling you an experience or two that I had. No, I'm standing in this holy desk that represents the space between the living God and sinners in need of hope and grace. So what I tell you, this is a living experience now. So, this one was maybe when I was about 16. I was nowhere near church. I was not a church member. I haven't gone to church in years. And I was with some friends. We didn't quite call it gang. We call it clique or crew. And that night we were coming. Number of us. I don't know the exact number. But it's several of us. Maybe 8. We don't know. I don't remember how many of us were there. And we were walking. And by the way, there's no street light there. No street light. We're walking. And suddenly, we were surrounded with what appeared to be a searchlight. It's beaming down on us. And when we looked up, there was no helicopter, no spacecraft, no unmanned aerial vehicle, UAV, none of that. One of my friends took out his weapon, man, and he's moving in. And I had a chuckle, I remember. I always had a little sense of humor. I said, "Man, are you going to kill what you can't see?" We all saw it. We all saw it. And that thing, as suddenly as it appeared, is as suddenly as it disappeared. We saw that with our own eyes. And by the way, I must tell you, in my entire life, I've never been drunk and I've never been high. So I was not seeing things. I was actually seeing things. You get it, amen? Amen. So what did I see? Well, it's for us to continue to explore in the Word of God. But before we go any further today, one of the questions I want to pose to you is this. Are you thick with Jesus in a covenant saving relationship? And I ask that because Jesus will help you through every natural and supernatural challenge or encounter. Now, a hidden Bible truth is that there are more things revealed in the Bible than is ordinarily spoken about. And you're not going to know until you begin to search the scriptures for it. Amen? Society's buzz and the anticipated United States government disclosures about UFO sightings and aliens. What does that mean to you? You know, there's an expectation for the release of classified documents to become declassified about UFO sightings and aliens. You know it's coming. Just a matter of time. How do you react? How do you plan? How do you think you'll respond to that? Does the Bible say anything about this subject? UFO sightings, alien signs, etc. Does the Bible say anything about that? If you go back to Luke chapter 21, that was nicely read for us. The Gospel of Luke chapter 21. And we heard some words read for our scripture reading there. Luke 21, 25 and 26. Jesus says, and there will be signs. Jesus said there will be signs. And he went on to qualify even further. Some are going to be in the sun. Some are going to be in the moon. Some are going to be in the stars. And he says, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Tsunami, that's a description of tsunami right there. The sea and the waves roaring. And these signs will be of such that, look at what Jesus said in verse 26. Men's hearts, failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So we can start with what Jesus said, and he said there will be signs. And some of those signs are going to cause distress on the earth. Men's hearts will be failing them from fear and expectation of those things that are coming on the earth. Well, you know, there have been signs in the sun and moon. For example, we as Adventists like to point out the dark day of May 19, 1780. And on that very night, the moon became as blood in its appearance. There was a major sign in the stars on November 13, 1833. The greatest falling of stars ever recorded in the history of mankind. But what about the signs on earth that cause men's heart to fail from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth? When the powers of the heaven will be shaken, will there be UFO sightings and alien signs? If there are, will they be tokens of the Son of God coming soon? John was in vision and heard a loud voice declaring things in heaven that caused John to raise the alarm. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12. I want to bring that one to you from the English Standard Version. John writes, therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. The third heaven, where God's throne is, and where his holy angels live, and the second heaven, where the intergalactic world lies, they hear the words, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. They rejoice because of what Jesus accomplished at the cross, forever securing their freedom from any further harassment by Satan. At the cross, Jesus totally unmasked Satan. Every last bit of sympathy that his former colleagues back in heaven had for Lucifer, they were all uprooted at the cross. Amen. It is true that his former colleagues back in heaven were first-hand witnesses of Lucifer's lies, deception, malicious and malignant gossiping, subversion, assault on the character of God, and open rebellion against God in heaven. They witnessed that. But Satan dropped his guards when he inspired and instigated the murder of the Son of God in the sham trial and on the cross at Calvary. You see, before Lucifer was expelled from heaven, his real motives were still a bit unclear, even to some of God's holy angels. But when Lucifer whipped up and roiled up that crowd and sent the alien voice crying, crucify him, crucify him, Satan's ultimate motive was unmasked. It was seen that all along he was jealous of Jesus and wanted to kill the Son of God and steal his inheritance. But after the confederacy of evil angels and evil men executed, crucifying the innocent Jesus, less than 48 hours later, Jesus was back on his feet. Amen. Amen. He experienced a glorious resurrection. And that is a guarantee that any of us who die in him will live again. And those we know who lived for him and died in him, they too will live again. Amen. And so Jesus came up. Now, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 23, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. It's good to die for your friends. And if Jesus only died for his friends, that would be all good and noble. But that's not the full story. Jesus did not just die for friends. Amen? Romans 5 and verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't just die for friends. It's good to die for friends. But we were his enemies when he died for us. Amen? Now, this is your insurance against the deception intended by UFO sightings, alien signs, and their opposition to the Son of God. Now, here is another divine revelation about your spiritual security. The Son, Jesus Christ, said in John chapter 10, and we're reading verses 14 through to 18. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Verse 17. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Now reason, let's reason a little bit here. Jesus was innocent in that he never sinned, yet he was condemned to die. Yet, in the divine sense, Jesus was satisfying divine justice against collective humanity and was guilty of the second death in that regard. I wonder if someone is following that. He was not guilty because he never sinned, but he was guilty because he was satisfying the divine sentence against collective humanity's sins. I'll say some more. By virtue of Jesus taking our place and all our sins as collective humanity, there was only one verdict for him. Man, this is where Bible Christianity differs from the popular Christianity of the day. Differs from the other religions of the day. It lies in this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, working the way down to verse 21. Paul writes, therefore, as a result of what Jesus did, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am a new creation. I am a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I am born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I am a new creation. I am a brand new man. That's what Jesus does for us. Man, at the cross, Jesus took our penalty. He died the second death. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And that's why anyone who leans on Jesus, anyone who surrenders to Jesus, anyone who follows Jesus can never die the second death. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. And so Paul goes on in verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Every minute you see on TV, ambassador to the UN, an ambassador to Israel, an ambassador to Germany, and those are cheap shot ambassadors, man. The Bible says you are ambassadors of Christ. No, that's big. We represent another world. Amen. Amen. We represent a world who has streets that don't have potholes. Amen. We represent a world that has streets that don't have, you know, barber green and asphalt. What's that? We represent a world that has streets made of transparent gold. Amen. Man, they beat up Venezuela and they're taking all of Venezuela's gold right now. I don't know if you know that. They start to sell it. Yeah, it was in the news. And they want to beat up Iran and take away their gas and natural gas and oil and everything. They beat up Iraq 25 years ago and took over all of Iraq's oil. Man, these wars are about oil and money and power. They don't care a lick about the Iranian people. That story. And some people are so gullible, they believe it. You think I want to liberate the Iranian people? That's nonsense. Liberate which Iranian people? You want to liquidate what the Iranian people have, you know? That's different. And it's reality. We need to know our history and see what's going on. And stop following CNN and Fox News. Because they are both the same. One is just conservative and one liberal. Same thing. They tell you the same nonsense. Follow the word of God. Amen? And we see the greed of mankind. You know, we see that. And the economic order of Revelation 13 is coming. And for that to come, you must control the world's wealth. Amen? Beat everybody up and put them in subjection. So you tell them to jump, they say, how high, sir? That's what's coming. And that's what's happening. No, we're ambassadors of Christ. We're ambassadors of another world. They can't measure the GDP of that world. Amen? Because when the king of that world came to this earth, who made this world, they actually taxed him. You imagine that? The man who made the world, they taxed him for spending 33 years down here. Yeah, they taxed him. And you know, to prove who he was, he didn't go over to Nanny's bank and get a borrowing from Nanny. You know, Nanny's pretty rich, you know. He didn't go over there. He simply said, Peter, go down to the riverside. Throw out your line. The first fish you catch, just reach in the mouth of that fish. And you'll find some money deposited there. Take it and pay for your taxes and mine. Amen. And that's what Peter did. That's how powerful Jesus is. Then someone like that, how can you measure his GDP? He can send fish to show up on the shoreline carrying gold. That's a special submarine right there, a living one. Amen. That's the Jesus we serve. That's the world we represent, Mahalia. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Verse 21 says, for he made him. No, man, this is where we can stop today and go home and think about it for the rest of our lives. It says here, for he, that's God, made him, that Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. And that was no scribal error in the Bible. It says, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? Man, can you imagine a wicked thief becoming the righteousness of God? A murderer becoming the righteousness of God? And you name all the sinners you don't like. The grace of God makes them the righteousness of God when they surrender to him. Christ took our place and became sin itself. And that's why he suffered the wrath of God on the cross, because he became sin for us. And he became sin that you and I might become the very righteousness of God as we turn to him. Man, this thing is so serious. This is the science of salvation. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ, who knew no sin, who was without sin, God made him to be sin for us. So on that cross, Jesus paid for us what the wages of sin demands, the second death. Jesus paid the price to put us in heaven. He sacrificed himself to make us secure, that no UAPs, you know what are those? Unidentified anomalous phenomena. That's a new term they're using for UFOs. Jesus died to make us so secure that no UFO sightings, no alien signs can separate us from the love of God. Amen? Now, what did John see in that vision of the late 80s or early 90s of the Christian era that made him write what he did in Revelation 12 and verse 12? Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you. Who has come down? The devil. They talk about no devil under the earth in no hell. Nothing like that. That's a story. That's Greek mythology. The devil is right here on the earth. John says, woe to you, the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Well, there was an individual by the name of Ellen G. White, who was God's chosen messenger in the prophetic office from mid-December 1844 until she passed away in July of 1915. She commented on what John saw in Revelation 12:12, And here's the comment, written in the Great Controversy, page 622. Fearful are the scenes which call forth this exclamation from the heavenly voice. The wrath of Satan increases as his time grows short, and his work of deceit and destruction will reach its culmination in the time of trouble. Fearful sights, there it is, of a supernatural character will soon be revealed in the heavens in token of the power of miracle-working demons. End of quote. You have inspiration for it now. So now you know that UFO sightings are real. Alien signs are real. The question is, what are they? What are they? Fearful sights and sightings. They are supernatural in character and are token of or in partnership with miracle-working demons. So I want to say to you today, outside of military UAVs, unidentified or unmanned aerial vehicles, because that's what some people are seeing too, and they are confusing those. People are actually seeing military crafts, UAVs. But there's also the supernatural UFO sightings and alien signs that are proof of the power of miracle-working demons. So, there's a clear biblical perspective in Revelation 12:12 and in Great Controversy, page 623, that people would be seeing things. There are definitely signs of the times telling us that the approach of the Son is so much closer. Now, here's one that the Apostle Paul says. If you go with me to Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. In Romans 13 and verse 11, Paul says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." UFO sightings, alien signs, and the Son of God approaching should not cause consternation, but provoke an awakening out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believe. I'm going to read you something else on that same page of Great Controversy, page 623. It says, "The spirits of devils will go forth to the kings of the earth." Do you think the president of the United States is one of the kings of the earth? This is talking about world leaders, the national leaders in Canada, in the United States, in Jamaica, in Mexico, in Venezuela, wherever. As good as they look in jackets, some of them are led by demons. As good as they look in suits. Yeah. So your favorite guy on TV might just be demon-led. The one you vote for and would die for and dare nobody to speak against may actually be doing seances and you don't even know. And you're there killing yourself up about this guy or this girl, and they're demon-filled and demon-possessed. I am apolitical. Don't stone me for that, you know. And I won't stone you for being Republican or Democrat either. I'm just telling you, these people we get so excited about, they don't even know who we are. They don't even care who we are. They just want to be in power. Vote for me and yeah, that's it. That's it. And the people go ballistic over them. Well, the prophet to the remnant says, the spirit of devils. And this is backing up what John said. John said it in Revelation himself. The spirit of devils will go forth to the kings of the earth and to the whole world to fasten them in deception and urge them on to unite with Satan in his last struggle against the government of heaven. By these agencies, rulers and subjects will be alike deceived. UFO sightings and alien signs harden some against the Son of God. They distract some people from their needful relationship with God. Satan uses these sightings to gather the lost into a confederacy against the government of God. He secures rulers and the masses of people alike in deception, keeping them caged in, and uses them to create a time of trouble such as never existed before. Satan will increase UFO sightings and alien signs to prepare God's opponents for the Battle of Armageddon and to get more people in the Mark of the Beast camp and to block as many people as possible from receiving the seal of the living God. Now, there are dangers inside and outside of the church. And let none of us be naive or gullible. We're actually told that a half-converted Christian is Satan's best weapon. Satan's weapon is not the big psychic out there, or the big spiritist, or the president of the United States, or the supreme leader of Iran, or the whatever name over in Israel. Satan's biggest weapon is a half-converted Christian. Now, look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to work from verse 10 on down to 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off. So his boasting was for the reason. And when he said boasting, this wasn't being braggadocious. This was actually, again, enunciating who called him to be an apostle, Paul. And he says, to the extent that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which we boast, or the things of which they boast. So there are some people who wanted to equate themselves with the apostles. And Paul actually uses the term in the Greek, they were super apostles. They're like, yeah, Paul, you know this, we know this too. They were competing with Paul. When all Paul was doing is presenting Jesus to the masses. But they wanted a competition. And you have those people in church, you know. Man, they can't stand to see someone else up front reading the scriptures. They get jealous. They can't stand seeing someone up front singing. They get jealous. I should be the singer. Man, that lovely voice, that should be mine. No, I can sit and enjoy you singing. Amen. I can sit and enjoy you preaching. Amen. I can sit and enjoy you reading the scriptures. No jealousy. No jealousy. No jealousy. And so these people were jealous of the Apostle Paul. And were saying, no, I need to address this so I can straighten things out. No, but look how serious this gets though. That was the lighter part. Verse 13 says, for such are false apostles. There it is. Such are false apostles. What else? Deceitful workers. What else? Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Man, they make it look good that they're doing Christ's work. But look what verse 14 says. And no marvel. For Satan himself transforms himself into what? An angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if Satan's ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. This is inside the church now, brothers and sisters. This is inside the church. UFO sightings and alien signs tell that the Son of God is coming soon. So no surprise. No wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. And remember, as a supernatural being, Satan can manifest in UFO sightings and in alien signs, and he even dares to appear as the Son of God. I'm going to the same page, so by today you must know, you must memorize Great Controversy, page 623. Because I'm going back to the same page one more time. This quote says, persons. These are real people now. Or are they real? Persons will arise pretending to be Christ himself. See, I'm not making up this story. Persons will arise pretending to be Christ himself. And man, these are the persons who get on TV news the quickest. Here was one a few years ago down in Florida that said he was Christ. And every media house went to interview him. And this guy was wearing Rolex watches and all that stuff, you know. He was living big. And you know what's funny? These are the guys that people send the money to. Give us any Jesus except the Bible's Jesus. We want a Jesus that will make us feel comfortable in sin. We want a Jesus that will not make us feel bad about the way we're living. We want a Jesus just suits our purpose. We want a Jesus of our taste. No, we want the Jesus of the Bible. As a matter of fact, we maybe want the one that suits our taste, but we need the Jesus of the Bible. Amen? We need a real Jesus. It says, persons will arise pretending to be Christ himself and claiming the title and worship which belongs to the world's Redeemer. They will perform wonderful miracles of healing and will profess to have revelations from heaven contradicting the testimony of the scriptures. End of quote. So even if you are healed, that is no sign that is God's doing it. It says they will perform wonderful miracles of healing and will profess to have revelations from heaven contradicting the testimony of scriptures. We need to stand on all that the Bible says. The counterfeit will look so much like the genuine that only those who have fortified their minds with Bible truths will be able to remain in the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. The Antichrist beast is disclosed this way in Revelation 13. Verse 13 on to the first part of verse 14. He performs great signs so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. End of quote. A favorite hobby of Satan is to deceive. And if it takes UFO sightings and alien signs and impersonating the sun to deceive you, Satan is willing to go to any length to do that. He wants to trap you. So remember now, Lucifer was in heaven. He is jealous of any of us making it there. He's doing whatever it takes to get us off the track that leads upward to heaven. So rise up in the name of Jesus and be counted among the saved. Accept Jesus now as your Lord and Savior. You see, many people are eager and willing to accept Jesus as Savior from sin. But few are ready or willing to accept Jesus as Lord. Because you see, as Lord, Jesus gets to rule over your life and tell you how to live and what to do. And not too many people want that. Yeah, Jesus is my Savior, but I choose how I live. You don't tell me. You don't come talk to me. I pick my way. Don't tell me anything else. This is what I'm going to do. I've heard some people say, that's just who I am. God knows who we all are. Terrible sinners. We need his grace. Amen? Yeah, that's what some people say. That's just who I am. Take it or leave it. No, we want Jesus to be Lord of our lives. Amen? And so in John 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Ephesians 2 and verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. So whether we encounter UFO sightings and alien signs, the Son of God is our peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, said in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so in Luke 21, 25 on down to 28, and there will be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Verse 27, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. The text says the last sign of the Son of Man coming will be in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, Elijah's precursor to the Battle of Armageddon had a token of God. Anybody remember what that was? On Mount Carmel? What was the sign that God was about to deliver? That's correct. We're going to read it in the Word of God today. Because sometimes, you know, we know these stories, but we don't connect them. And that's what I'm trying to do today. Connect it for you so you can see. So this token that was given in Elijah's precursor to the Battle of Armageddon, to the spiritually untrained eyes, they might have said, well, this was a UFO sighting or an alien sign. But to the spiritually trained eye, they knew it was a sign of God's deliverance. To the saved, those who are spiritually attuned to God, it was a sign that God was about to deliver his people. You see, it was time for good to openly triumph over evil, for righteousness to triumph over apostasy, and for God's people to triumph over Satan's people, and for Christ to openly triumph over Satan. Through Elijah, God had declared there would be no rain for the space of 3.5 years. And God would reverse that only through the words of Elijah. And so 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 43, and we're going to verse 45. Speaking of Elijah, it says, he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went and looked and said, there is nothing. And 7 times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the 7th time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And Elijah heard enough. This was the sign. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. End of quote. God gave the cloud as a sign. The greatest of all the UFO sightings, an alien sign, is the Son of God coming back. That would be the greatest UFO sighting in the history of the world. That would be the greatest alien sign ever. And it involves a cloud. I go now to Last Day Events, page 274. Soon there appears in the east a small black cloud about half the size of a man's hand. It is the cloud which surrounds the Savior, and which seems in the distance to be shrouded in darkness. The people of God know this to be the sign of the Son of Man. In solemn silence, they gaze upon it as it draws nearer the earth, becoming lighter and more glorious until it is a great white cloud, its base a glory like consuming fire, and above it, the rainbow of the covenant. Jesus rides forth as a mighty conqueror. With anthems of celestial melody, the holy angels, a vast, unnumbered throng, attended him on his way. The firmament seemed filled with radiant forms, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. No human pen can portray the scene. No mortal mind is adequate to conceive its splendor. The King of Kings descends upon the cloud, wrapped in flaming fire. The heavens are rolled together as a scroll. The earth trembles before him, and every mountain and island is moved out of its place. End of quote. All human philosophies will be silenced. The sign of the Son of God and preparing to meet your God will then be seen to be what really mattered. So, people are having UFO sightings and alien signs are being seen. But to see the Son of God in peace is worth pursuing. What do you have to say for yourselves today? I say yes and amen. I want to see Jesus like those Greeks said. I want to see Jesus. Brothers and sisters, UFO sightings are real. Alien signs are appearing. But we know from the Word of God that they are the power of miracle-working demons. People are seeing things. And the devil may even dare to try to frighten you too, by showing up at some point. But when we're anchored in Christ, we will be unmoved. First hymn we sung, the opening hymn said, it's almost time for the Lord to come. And we're going to go now to our closing hymn. And pay attention to the words. Make this your prayer, even as we sing our closing hymn today. Brothers and sisters, let us be ready for the Son of God, the Son of Man to come. Let us not be deceived by anything the devil throws at us. But instead, let us go all the way with Jesus, surrendering our lives to him, ordering our lives to him, and be anchored in Christ, having our minds fortified with the Word of God. We're closing hymn. We praise the Lord. Well, as we go from this sacred place of worship today, may we go in the companionship of God's presence. May we go with our minds made up that we belong to Jesus. Whatever comes our way, we'll not allow circumstances to dictate how we live, but we'll allow Jesus himself to tell us how to live as Lord of our lives. Let us pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your sacrifice, Jesus, on Calvary's cross for us. Thank you that you rose again in mighty triumph and giving us each a guarantee that those who live in Christ, even if we should die, we arise again to live in you. And Father, we know that the entire human race is destined to death, one person at a time, 70 being the limit, and by reason of strength, some go beyond. We pray, Father, that we will commit our lives to you right now. We present ourselves to you now. We ask that you forgive us and cleanse us and purify us. We ask, Lord, that you make us your disciples. And may we go from this place cleansed, washed, forgiven, purified. May we go with our minds made up that we will not go live in sin. We'll not go practice sin. We'll not go entertain sin. But we'll go clothed in the righteousness of Christ
and letting the mind of Christ be in us. Change us, O God. Fill us up for heaven. Help us to enjoy being a part of the family of God. Help us to look to every time the church meets to study your word. The church meets to pray and to fast. The church meets to have Sabbath school, worship service, fellowship meal, etc. Help us, Lord, to really look forward to those times. Give us the born-again experience. And help us, Lord, to have a joy in telling neighbors, in telling friends, in telling co-workers, in telling classmates, in telling the people, wherever we meet them, that Jesus saves, that Jesus loves them, that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is coming again, and that they should prepare to meet their God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. May we go from this place refreshed, born again. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.